And the first one was to here. In fact, I'll just go ahead and cheat a little bit, and I'll give you what it is. So it's here. So who got an answer for here? What's the scripture for here?
So belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes. Okay. So what is it? Is it
Romans 10:17? I think.
Okay, Romans 10:17. So, and so you know, really, that's the beginning of all things, right? Basically, when I say all things, I don't, you know, I'm not talking about the creation of the world and all that, but beginning of becoming a Christian, or beginning to go down that road of becoming a Christian, to hear the word of God. So that's why it's important to be able, if you're going to teach somebody, you know, what you must do to be saved, what must do to be a Christian. You should be able to go to some scriptures in the Bible and show somebody. And that's why we're going through these memory verses. So we have here, and then we have the next one is belief. So what scripture do we have for belief?
John 3:16,
which says,
"For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life."
That's right. Well, it's John 3:16. Okay. So once you hear the word, and once you believe the word, then what comes next?
Repent.
Well, you find out, that's right, repent, repentance. And so what is the scripture for repentance?
Acts 17:30.
The scripture given here was Acts 17:30. Mm-hmm. And what does that say?
Having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent.
Very good. That's absolutely right. Okay. And then after repentance, we find the scripture that was given last week was actually before that, it was confession, right? And that is found in,
Romans 10:10.
Okay, Romans 10:10, where it says, "For with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved." Okay? And then for this particular lesson, lesson number 6 is going to be baptism. And the one for baptism was 1 Peter. That's right. You know what that said?
Yes.
Okay. And what does it say? Yeah, well, you got the floor now. Go for it.
Baptism does not also save us, not to clean away the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of the good conscience of God.
That's right. So those are the memory verses that we have. Okay, so starting this morning, we're going to, actually it's kind of a review of what we've been, as a congregation, as what we've been going over in the last, at least the last year, I know for sure, and then time before that. Nick has been given lessons on eldership and then lessons on overseers. And so this is going to be kind of a review. And so, like always, this class is open for anybody that has comments and questions. But we want to remember that we want to stay focused on the subject at hand. Because this particular lesson, not lesson 6, but the whole book, describes a lot of things in detail that we don't have to go into real deep detail in everything. But we are going into eldership for the elders, okay, the overseers. So I'll just go ahead and read the introduction of our book. Everybody have a book? Yeah. All right. It says, the organization of the early church was simple. First of all, just kind of a recap, we're going back to the first century church. We're going back to where the church was established, and this is where we're getting our scriptural reference, our pattern, you might say, for what we do as Christians. Okay, and then we've studied other things, the purpose of the church. Now we're studying the overseers. Okay? All right, so the organization of the early church was simple. Each church had overseers who were selected from among the local church to provide spiritual oversight of the congregation. Each church had two or more overseers whose supervision was limited to the particular church. These overseers were older men called elders because their work was like that of the shepherd with a flock. They were called shepherds or pastors. So these are some of the terms that they're called. And we'll see that as we read the scriptures that call them by those names. So is there any questions so far? So far, it said that the organization of the church, and as far as the elders and everything, I mean, it's pretty basic and pretty simple. You know, and we'll read about the qualification of the elders as we go on, but there were elders established in the congregations for just that congregation. Just as we studied before, that each congregation is autonomous, which means they govern of themselves. In other words, so the elders govern that particular congregation and not other congregations, just the one. Okay? All right. We often speak of this group of men within a local church as the eldership. This idea is expressed in the Greek word presbyterian. That how to pronounce that name? Something like that. Anyway, 1 Timothy 4:14. Presbytery is another term. The term refers to the group of elders or the council of elders. A study of the New Testament will show, however, that the term overseer is a better term to use when speaking of their work than the word elder. Okay? So we're going to have some scripture reading here, 1 Timothy 4:14, and I think we'll start with Raleigh. If you want to read 1 Timothy 4:14.
Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery.
Now this is a letter that was written to Timothy, and Timothy, the presbytery or the elders, they actually laid hands upon Timothy. Okay? And many English translations, especially the older ones, use the term bishop instead of overseer. In the 16th century, when many English translations were made, the bishop was an overseer of many churches. Okay. Now, if you're familiar with the Catholic Church, they call the Catholic Church has bishops, and the bishops are actually, they oversee several different churches. Okay. This is not the way it was in the early church, and the term bishop still conveys an incorrect concept to the modern mind. Okay? The term pastor is used of overseers only once in the English Bible. This term is used today in denominational churches of an individual who not only looks out for the spiritual welfare of the group, but also serves as administrator of the church. This misuse of the biblical term makes it imperative that we examine the New Testament for the correct idea. And I know that everybody in here has heard the term pastor being used to describe a preacher, to describe somebody that pretty much runs a particular church. But the term pastor is used for that. And we'll find that the term pastor is actually a term for overseer or elder. And so we'll see the qualifications that go with that. So really, like Nick, you know, he's been contacted before, and they say, or somebody will say, well, who's the pastor of the church? And they're referring to the preacher. And so it is a term that is misused today by a lot of people. So we're just going to touch on that a little bit. Ephesians 4:11, so I'm going to have Pauline read Ephesians 4:11.
And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers.
Okay, so not everybody is a prophet for sure, not everybody is an evangelist, not everybody is a pastor, and not everybody is a teacher, but there are those positions that were given, okay? So those people have certain fruits that they have, certain, what's the word I'm looking for? Expertise or abilities, okay? And, you know, we had a good lesson on abilities. It's kind of funny because that lesson was given by the guy that's going to be given the preacher that's going to be given our gospel meeting coming up. He was talking about everybody, your abilities. You need to exercise your ability. You need to work on what you have. Everybody doesn't have the same abilities, but whatever we have, we need to develop it. And we need to grow in it. So so those of us who, you know, are evangelists or pastors or teachers, we need to grow in that, okay? In this lesson, we intend to consider the work of overseers. In Lesson 6, we will discuss the qualification of overseers, and in Lesson 7, the relation of the members of the congregation to the overseers. You know, that's lesson number 7. It just made me have to think about deacons.
That's 8. I had it out of order. I was thinking of one lesson.
Oh, okay, that's right. So the next one is actually the church's responsibility to the elders. Okay. The work of the overseers. Anybody have any questions so far? Everybody staying on board with what we're going over? Okay. Okay, it is a work. Definitely it is a work to be an overseer. Okay? And in 1 Timothy 3:1, Nick, you want to read that?
It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do.
Okay, so it is a work. So if you have a desire to be an elder or an overseer, then it is a work. And just like any work, I mean, there's effort that has to be put forth into that. Okay, and as we read, there's going to be a lot of responsibility that goes with that.
And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church.
Okay, so in this particular verse, they were called elders, elders of the church, okay? So I'm going to have you read the next scripture, okay, Chad? And then next one after that, okay. All right, Acts 20, 28. Go ahead and read that, Chad.
Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Okay, so in this